STR podcasts are made possible through the generous donations of our listeners. To support STR today, go to str.org and click on Donate in the upper right-hand corner.
This is Brett Kunkel, and you're listening to the Bulletproof Podcast. Joe was in trouble. He had just spent the last 10 minutes getting pounded by two of his friends on his same-sex marriage views. The conversation started with, I don't want to hear because the Bible tells me so warning from one of his friends. And it almost ended with, you have the right to marry the person you love, so, you know, why can't gay people? Challenge from the other friend. And so Joe attempted to defend his views, but really all he could muster was the mere assertion that same-sex marriage was wrong. It's wrong. That's what the Bible says. It's just wrong, as he kind of stammered and stumbled. His friends, though, wouldn't go for that. They demanded further justification, and poor Joe just withered. He ended up kind of sitting there silently with no argument to offer. And kind of at the end of this conversation, his friend said something. Joe had no answer. And so she looked at him and she said, "See, Joe, we owned you." Well, that was my cue. I looked over at Joe and I kind of laughed when his friends, claimed that they had owned him. And they did own him. And so I looked at Joe and I said, "Man, Joe, you're taking a beating." And this was kind of my lighthearted way of easing into that conversation. Because I had been working on my computer at Starbucks when Joe and his two friends had sat down just a few feet from me at the next table. And initially, I tried to tune out their small talk. I was focusing on work, trying to get some emails done. But as Joe's friends, two female friends, Maria and Sonia, began brainstorming topics for a persuasive paper that Maria had to write for a college class, well, ultimately the issue of same-sex marriage came up, and of course the conversation caught my attention. What ensued was Joe's intellectual beatdown, and I desperately wanted to jump in and help the guy out. But, of course, I was sitting there struggling. I mean, how do I kind of butt into this conversation without seeming like a nosy, pushy, obnoxious Christian? Well, of course, practice what I preach. Now, if you've been listening to the Bulletproof Podcast, you know that I talk about four different steps to training. First, we need to elevate our expectations. Secondly, we need to equip students' minds. Number three, we need to engage them in experiences, right? Get it out of the classroom. But the fourth step in our training of our young people is embodiment. We need to embody the message. We need to live out what we say. We need to practice what we preach. And of course, one of our main themes at Standard Reason is that we don't exist merely to give a bunch of answers. We're not interested in turning out a bunch of Christian eggheads or apologetic junkies. What we want to do is build a certain kind of person, an ambassador. And you've heard us talk about this, I'm sure, many times before. We've identified three main skills of an effective ambassador. A Christian ambassador has knowledge, wisdom, and character. And so here it was, my turn to use the skills, to practice what I preach. So I was trying to begin with some wisdom. And so that was kind of the reason for the humor directed at Joe, not at the girls, because I was on his side of the same-sex marriage issue. And so as I'm trying to think of a way to kind of get into the conversation, this was kind of the indirect approach, right? A little bit of humor, a little bit of laughter. A direct approach, looking at the ladies and saying, excuse me, I think you're wrong, and here's why, of course, would have put Joe's friends on the defense. But instead, my comment about Joe taking a beating actually got a laugh from the ladies. And so that was kind of my my entry point. And I was trying not to be an obnoxious, pushy Christian, but I wanted to get in on this conversation and help Joe out a little bit. And so that was the entry point. I noticed that Joe actually was wearing a sweatshirt that had the initial CBU. So I kind of followed up with a question. I said, Joe, are you a student at Cal Baptist University? Because that was, we were in Southern California, not too far from the campus. And he nodded and told me that he was a student there. And then I shared with him that I had actually spoken at CBU's chapel about a year ago. So I'm kind of making some small talk. And in fact, his two friends, the girls sitting there, piped up and said that they were actually CBU students as well. So all three of these students were Christian students at Cal Baptist University. I was in. That was my end to the conversation. And I tried to do that wisely without being obnoxious and pushy. Now, of course, a little side note here. I wasn't surprised, but of course I was bothered that here you had two young ladies at a Christian university who were arguing for same-sex marriage. And it speaks to the lack of training, not at CBU, but at our churches. I don't, maybe CBU, I can't judge from simply that encounter. I know you've got Christian young people at Christian colleges all around the country who are in support of same-sex marriage. But I think it speaks to the lack of training of our young people by the church and by parents. But let's set that aside. Okay, after some small talk, I told them I couldn't help but overhear the conversation. And so then I said, I studied the issue a little bit. You know, could I offer you some thoughts on this? And so I'm asking for permission. I'm not just kind of asserting my opinion, but I'm saying, hey, look, you know, can I have permission to share some things with you guys to think about? And of course, Joe pipes up, yes, you know, help me out here. and the girls were they were open to it as well. And so so I wisely got in. And at this point, then I needed to employ the knowledge of an ambassador on this particular issue. So I offered two arguments from harm against homosexual behavior and a third argument against same-sex marriage. So first I argued that homosexual behavior does physiological harm. And I pointed to the rates of sexually transmitted diseases, HIV, AIDS amongst homosexual males. I talked a little bit about the physical damage that's done to the body by male homosexual sex. Second, I argued that homosexual behavior does psychological harm, and I just cited for them briefly some of the rates of depression, domestic violence, suicide, and substance abuse among homosexuals. And, a great resource on this is some of Alan Schliemann's work. You know, he's been doing a series of blog posts on the STR Place blog and the STR blog on homosexuality. And he's addressed some of this stuff. Another good resource is a book called Straight and Narrow, written by Thomas Schmidt. And I think it's chapter 5. It's called The Price of Love. And he just lays out the statistics. You know, these are things that you're not going to hear in the media, but he just takes a sober look at the physiological harm, the psychological harm of homosexual behavior. And kind of the conclusion of that chapter, he just really gives a very poignant way of summarizing the data by he creates an illustration where he takes, you know, a group of 10 randomly selected homosexual men, and if they, you know, lived in a home together, here are the stats. And it's just a really powerful way to illustrate the harm that is done through homosexuality. And so then finally, I discussed the harm to society. You know, if we legally sanction such destructive behavior through same-sex marriage, that's going to cause harm to our society. It's going to cause harm for the public good. In addition, I argued that you've got, you know, 50 years of sociological data on raising healthy children, and it's crystal clear that children that are raised in a monogamous home with one father and one mother are the healthiest individuals. That is the family unit that provides the healthiest children, and all the indicators point to this. Now, there's a lot more, you know, I said, but this is kind of the basic structure of my argument, and I just kind of used the, again, using wisdom, using tactics, I just laid out the facts. Just the facts, ma'am, is one of our tactics at Stand to Reason, and I just kind of laid these things out there. Joe, Maria, Sonia, they were all ears. Now, notice, I didn't make any appeals to religious arguments. I didn't say because the Bible said so. I didn't just assert my view, hey, this is wrong. I had the necessary knowledge to make my case. And, of course, poor Joe, he wasn't equipped. He didn't have that, so he wasn't able to make a persuasive case. So I was able to do it with knowledge, with wisdom, but also with character, I think, and my arguments came wrapped in an attractive manner. Character. You know, I didn't raise my voice. I didn't get upset. I wasn't defensive when they asked some questions or offered challenges. I felt like I was cool, calm, and collected throughout. And so I think I can say humbly that I was an effective ambassador of the truth in the circumstance. Now, that's not always the case, but I think in this case, it certainly was. Why? Well, you know what? By the end of this conversation, Maria, that was the girl who was kind of brainstorming ideas for her paper, this persuasive paper she needed to write. Well, by the end of our conversation, she had completely changed her view and had decided now to write her paper arguing against same-sex marriage. And she asked me for more resources. She took out a piece of paper and a pen and was saying, okay, you know, where can I find some of these statistics? I took her to the STR Place website. I took her to the STR website, showed her where she can find some more of these resources. I mentioned some books to her, and she wrote this down. And now this was going to be the topic for her paper. And so her mind was changed. Now, often Christians challenge the notion that apologetics, you know, can't really make a difference. I mean, people aren't persuaded by arguments, right? Well, when our apologetic is wrapped in an attractive ambassador of Christ, there's no argument more powerful. Now, here's the takeaway. You and I are the ones who make that argument, who make an argument for apologetics wrapped up in an ambassador. We're the ones that make the argument for that kind of apologetic by our lives. And so the question is, what are you embodying? What am I embodying to the next generation? What do they see in our lives? Do I practice what we preach?
STR podcasts are made possible through the generous donations of our listeners. To support STR today, go to str.org and click on Donate in the upper right-hand corner.